It's time for Arts Live and Local. This is Carol. I want to first give a big thank you to Teresa and to David for hosting the shows this past month. I haven't heard them, but I'm sure it was great. So that's how we work here at Coast Community Radio. It's a family. Did I mention there's a pledge drive coming up? Oh, yeah. Okay. Just keep that in mind. Thanks for being here, folks. Got a full show, and I'm going to start right out with one of our favorite local bands, the Sedona Fire Band. And let's see. This is, 2018. This is their newest release, although who knows? They might have another one, and they'll let you know. Let's hear from them, and then you'll find out why. And enjoy.
It's been a long time coming. This journey's been knocking on my door. With tears down my face and the pain in my heart from this war. Never thought this would be me.
Fantastic. Congratulations to the band. I've got four members here. I don't even know. How many people are in this band?
Seven.
Seven.
Yep.
Is that a flexible number?
It can be, but it seems like 7 is usually the happy sweet spot for us, especially for our style of music.
It's a good number, too. Yeah. It's a mystical number.
It is.
Excellent.
It is.
And this is a 2018 release with beautiful artwork on the cover by one of my guests, Renee Delight LaTorre. And her other half, I believe, is in the band, too.
Yes.
Bob LaTorre, who's been on this show numerous times, yeah. wearing numerous hats, yeah. because he's in numerous bands. Yes, uh-huh. right. The first voice you heard, though, was Sedona Torres, whose name is the name of the band.
Part of the band, yeah.
And I also have here, let's introduce everybody, and then we'll figure out who is this band. Michael Denon. And hi, Michael.
Hi.
And I understand, is this your first time on KMUN?
No.
Okay.
We've been on Todd's show. I haven't made it to your show before.
Okay.
So this is the first
time
on your show.
So you are an Arts Live and Local virgin, but not a KMUN virgin.
Exactly.
Okay, well, congratulations. And then Enya Torres, who we don't talk about virgins when we're talking to young people. So you don't have to worry about a thing. How old are you, Enya?
I am 15.
15, and you are part of what? What are you doing in the band?
I play percussion, so that means like shakers, drums, whatever they need, really.
And how long have you been part of the band?
About 3 years.
3 years. That is so terrific. Mm-hmm. So this really is a family band.
It is.
I don't even remember who's related to whom. It's easy. It's easy with Renee because her name is Renee Delight. And of course, she wasn't going to give that up. Mm. But she did. She did add on Bob's exactly. last name as well. Michael, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Well, we're together, but we don't.
My
share
last name isn't Fire, though.
Yeah.
Some people think it is.
I'm Sedona Torres, and this is Michael Fire.
I like it. That kind of works. Uh-huh. And then, of course, Chuck and Barbara McLaughlin are both part of the band. Yeah. And so let's see. It's 2, 4, 6, 7. That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a new album, but that's not why you're here. You're here because you have a concert on the 9th.
The 9th.
Mm-hmm. Which is Saturday, a week from this Saturday night, at St. Catherine's Church, which is on Highway 101 between Manzanita and Nehalem. Is it right? It's right there on the highway.
Yep, you can't see. It'll be on the right-hand side if you're southbound.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you are playing... Is it a special concert?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's related to our CD, but it was actually a vision I had had. I love collaborative work. So we have a couple guest musicians, Carl McLaughlin, which is Chuck and Barbara.
Right.
Yeah. And then also Scott Wagner, too.
Oh.
So he plays trumpet. Yeah, with Bob a lot and of some of his other places that he does. So it's kind of a collaborative effort. But there's also another collaborative effort, which is kind of a new aspect. It's the title is called Songs and Meaning, because I'm really creating kind of this more of experience. It's not just about listening to music, it's also listening to the poetry and the thought process that actually inspired the folk music. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's one of the passions that I have about folk music is sometimes if there's so much sound going on, which can be great, you're experiencing the beat, the rhythm, but maybe you're not listening to the lyrics and there's actually, so the poetry allows you to go deeper with it.
So how do you get people to listen to the words?
Right. So with this poetry, the Riverbend Players are actually a group of the Riverbend Players is assisting me. So we're kind of setting it up as like a reader's theater. That's setting up the experience and then the song follows it. So I actually have four acts in this experience.
Oh,
so like
this
the first
exciting.
Yeah, so the first act is called The Power of Water. So each of the songs that are in that one are mostly water related. And then the second act is The Journey of the Native, which is a bit shorter act, but it's covering some of my heritage, the Native American heritage. So there's a few songs in there that are about that and has the poetry attached to it. And then Act 3 is Love and Bliss. And Act 4 is The Goddess Within, more of a women's empowerment section.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And so what is the what is the theater part going to do? Are they going to actually speak the poetry?
They will. Yeah, they will be reading the poetry. And just imagine more like a reader's theater. They might have a few of the way they're dressing to honor the energy of it, but their voices, they will be delivering it. It might be some poetry from me. It may be poetry from just other inspiring poetry that I probably read before I wrote the song.
Interesting.
You know? And then also thoughts and journals. And sometimes that's a bit complex because certain songs that I have in there, especially if it's folk music that's been inspired over maybe a decade of processing, I had to be very creative in how I had to condense that down into summing it all up.
And that's one of the things about poetry. It forces you to bring it back in.
But that's the beauty of it,
so
right?
So does this mean from the way you're speaking that you've written all of these songs?
It's a co-creation. I would say written. A lot of times I may bring the beginning part of it. But as with the process of anything is that I may have basically started the construction of the words. Mm-hmm. And maybe even the melody came in through my head if I heard it. But then when we go from there, honestly, what you see or what they're going to hear is the creation of all of us.
So how much, now let me look at the other three people and say, okay, now, you know, let's pretend Sedona's not here. Mm-hmm. Is she really bossy or what? I mean,
how much? No comment.
He's not that stupid.
Right. You got witnesses out there.
She is the boss, though. She is the leader of the band.
Yeah. And so if she brings something in, does that sometimes inspire a melody?
Oh, yeah.
And
her and I have a co-creative process too, so I mean I do write some lyrics and contribute some to the musical ideas. We kind of have a back and forth between the two of us.
Absolutely.
So. And what instrument do you play, Mike?
I play the acoustic guitar.
And a harmonica.
Oh well, yeah. Not as much with the trumpet in the band, but sometimes when we just play as a duo, I'll do more with the harmonica to add some.
And Bob did write one song that's on this CD. It's called Easy to Find. So it's not just to me, but I would say the basis of the show was an inspiration of just the spark of it. But I would heavily say that it's just the spark. Everything that we've seen further from that and what they hear is really, it would not even sound like that if we did not actually merge together and bring all of our greatness together.
It's probably a lot more interesting for you as well.
Oh, totally. It's a great experience to surrender into that process because it's far better than I could even imagine.
That's fun. Now, Renee, where do you come in on the band besides doing the artwork on the albums?
I play the electric cello. And for one of those pieces, I did do a cello part. Mm-hmm. I wrote my own cello part. It was my first time I've done that, so I'm rather proud of it. Mm-hmm. And that's on I'll Meet You There.
Yeah, it's the one of the native ones.
Yeah, and I absolutely love being able to do this with these songs. I mean, Sedona's very generous at allowing us. She's very generous at allowing us to have our input and bring our creativity to it. I mean, not everyone could let that go, but she's really very generous about that.
So do you play non-electric cello as well, or have you gone over to the electric side of that?
I have. I actually no longer have an acoustic because it broke. And to replace an acoustic cello is an investment.
Yeah.
But so right now I have the electric cello, but I do intend to get an acoustic again.
And do you play... I'm just wondering, because cello is one of my favorite instruments, and I wonder, when you're at home and not painting, do you sometimes just do something on the cello?
Yeah. I try to get my practice in and all of that, because I'm a late bloomer as far as playing an instrument, the cello instrument, not an instrument, but... So I have a lot to learn still.
What did you play before?
I played classical guitar starting when I was nine and up until my 20s. So,
And now you're doing electric cello. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And Enya, do these old people inspire you? Folks, for radio, I have to tell you, they are not old.
Yeah.
However, they're a lot older than Enya, who's 15. So,
I would say that they do inspire me a lot, and they inspire me to get better, too.
Did you choose percussion, or was that what was needed for the band, and you
I did choose percussion, but it was also needed, so it was kind of like a win-win.
Nice, nice. I love the idea. Okay, let's remind folks, the concert is a week from tomorrow night, March 9th, at St. Catherine's Church on Highway 101 between Manzanita and Nehalem. And what time is the concert? I didn't mention.
Doors will probably open up at 6:30, but the concert starts at 7.
Okay. How much room is there? I've never been to
It's a great acoustics. That's one of the reasons why we chose the venue. Nice. And I would say, 100.
Okay.
That's a good size. Yeah, that would be where it's probably packed, that's probably when we filled it before, it was close to that.
Great.
I would say definitely if you want to, because it's a little bit, it's a 2-hour ish show, then maybe bring a cushion too. I have that actually on the flyers just for extra comfort if you're kind of fussy with that,
Right. So, yeah. And there is, there will be an intermission.
Yes, there is.
Uh-huh. And there are facilities.
Yes, there
okay,
are.
Okay, there you go. You're set for the night. Sounds terrific. Sedona Fire Band. These guys do play around, so watch for them. I saw them at the Liberty last year or something.
I can't keep track of you.
Yeah. But it's wonderful. How long has the group been together?
That's a good question. We started out first. It was just Sedona Fire, and so then it became the band. Six or seven
okay.
years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'd say about seven.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay, seven. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Feels like forever, but in a good way.
We're a big family.
Because it's music
now.
Is timeless, right?
It's wonderful. It's very exciting, and you still all love each other, too.
We do.
That's obvious. So. Congratulations, and have a great concert. Do you have a website or any way?
We do. It's SedonaFireMusic.com. And you can see kind of a list of where our events and where we'll be performing, and also a little bit more about us, and also our information on our CDs, too.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sedona Fire Band. It's good she has such a terrific name, too. Works for the band. Coming up, I have some music from Pretty Gritty. They are going to be tonight at Pickled Fish from 9 to 11. I heard this couple at a market a few years ago. I just sort of heard some good music and I wandered over and there they were. And it turns out they play here a lot. Stay tuned. Lots of guests. Arts Live and Local on Coast Community Radio, KMUN.
Take my man, Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't take him just because you came. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair and ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep. There's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. I could easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't take him just because you came.
Well, that's it's a terrific song, Dolly Parton. We all know this song. But it's even better because my guests who are here are well known to many of you. Let's see, what are they wearing on their heads today? Okay, they're power women, that's for sure. And I have Laurie Johnson with her sign, Women Pay Taxes, Women Obey the Laws, Votes for Women. Man, yes. Oh man, underpaid labor, I like that too. Yeah. And Amy Cry, and she's wearing a, I don't know what that is. What is that, Laurie, you've got on your head? I'm sorry.
This is a 1912 hat that a woman would have worn in that period of time. It's all authentic.
I know. Laurie is one of the extraordinary, has one of the most extraordinary closets in the world. And she really does, from all ages. And she's written books, and she speaks to women's history and does a fabulous job. And I'll let her tell you how to find her for other possibilities. My other guest is Amy Kreider, and Amy is wearing a more contemporary headpiece.
I like that.
Also authentic. That's great. What would you call that?
I guess a bandana.
A bandana, yes.
That I wear perfect. When I'm doing tough stuff outside or in the library.
There you go. Amy is our official library representative here, and Laurie is the presenter, and this is happening tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Astoria Library. There is the presentation of, we are going to meet Abigail Scott Duniway, is
Thank
that correct?
Thank you, Carol. Yes, it is. Abigail Scott Duniway will be there in person to meet and talk about how important it is for women to vote.
Absolutely. Now, how did we find Abigail Scott Duniway?
How did we find her? Yeah. Well, I've been in doing a lot of programs in the persona of Abigail Scott Duniway for several years, and she is very significant to us as Oregonians because she campaigned for 40 years of her life to get the right to vote for women. And I think more women need to know this because she was not only a campaigner for suffrage for women, she was a mother of six children.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Ouch.
And she had a stay-at-home husband who had been injured earlier and was not able to work, but he was the one that ran the home and took care of the children while she was out by wagon, by horseback, whatever it took to get around to speak to women and tell them why it was so important. If they are half the population and the laws are only written for the other half of the population, somebody needs to start working on getting women involved with the politics of the time. And even more importantly, the politics of the time now matter.
And she lived here in Oregon.
She did. She lived in Salem.
And was she working in a group, with a group?
She actually knew Susan B. Anthony.
Oh.
And her brother was the editor of the Oregonian at that time.
Oh.
Mr. Duniway. I've forgotten his first name.
Okay.
And he was on the opposite side. So he would write these scathing letters, editorials about why women shouldn't vote. And then she would write... She also wrote the first newspaper. She, as a woman editor of a newspaper in Oregon, so she was always writing articles and editorials and things about why it is so important for women to get the right to vote. Now, this was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and so the women can't vote to get the right to vote for themselves. They have to be...
That's the irony of the whole thing, isn't it? They've got to convince enough
their
men.
Their husbands or men, their fathers or brothers or whatever. Yeah. They've got to convince them. And so fortunately, we must have had some very progressive thinking men in the early 1900s because Oregon got the right to vote for women, got suffrage for women 8 years before it became a national amendment.
What year was that? 1912. Which is why you're wearing your 1912 hat.
Exactly.
Which is a little large for you, I notice, but...
Well, actually, I have to show you the inside. See, okay. It has this special little thing that fits in here, like that. Now, everybody can see it personally tomorrow, but it will hold it up on your hair, on your head, so that your hair, when it's up like this, isn't smashed down.
Mm-hmm.
So it... Mm-hmm.
And I should mention, as I said, Louis has published my favorite book is The Big Gorgeous Accessories.
Ladies Vintage Accessories.
Right, which is why she knows so much. Seriously, this is quite seriously about
and I do have lots of different hats that I wear.
Hats and gloves and purses. And she does wear lots of hats. And every time she comes in here, it's a different hat. And so I'm quite delighted.
Actually, Carol, I could come in here and wear a different hat every day for 2 years.
Oh, God.
Okay. So there you go.
Wow. It's good you have a big house. Amy, how did this come together that you were putting this on at the Astoria Library?
Well, every year we try to have a special event celebrating Women's History Month. And a few years ago, Laurie did come in as Mary Riddle, who was a Clatsop County pioneer, and Laurie was in her period clothing at that time as well, and I just really enjoyed how having her there, giving the program in a that first person manner, wearing the clothing, you know, using the words of these women from history, really, really brought history alive. And so I got back in touch with her, and she was full of ideas.
Yeah, she always is. I'll never forget the birthday party we did with handkerchiefs. That was Cheryl's 60th. Yes,
that was hanky panky.
Hanky panky. So that's why I say, folks, if you're interested, try to come tomorrow, which is 7 p.m. Saturday. The 2nd of March at the Astoria Library, which is on 10th and Exchange, and catch this act. Laurie does a beautiful job, and she actually does transport, and you'll be willing to answer questions, I'm sure, in persona.
Abigail Scott Dunaway.
There it is.
Yep, the important lady for Oregon is going to be there.
We are so lucky. I love that you are able to bring her here. So the 19th Amendment, so the federal, was 100 years ago, is what?
Next year.
It's 2020, and that's what we're going to be looking ahead to.
Hit the jackpot.
How important that will be, because nationally we got suffrage for women in 1920. So we're coming up on a very important anniversary.
Right.
And we really want, you know, Amy and I talked, we really want to invite and encourage high school students, boys and girls, because it's very important for men and boys to understand how much this has added to our nation, you know, because you have the other half of the population that is contributing.
Yeah.
And before that, you only had half the population contributing.
You also were missing the mothers, the grandmothers, the daughters, you know, the family, basically, sisters. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, too, I'm glad you mentioned that about youngsters, because I think this would be a fantastic way to introduce people to any gender, any age to this.
Yeah.
And I personally am very always delighted with your presentations.
Oh, thank you,
I
Carol.
Always learn something, and you're very convincing, too.
Well, Amy mentioned Mary Riddle, and when I started reading her diaries, I just could not believe what she went through. We have those diaries here at the library.
Mm-hmm.
The original ones are kept in a hermetically sealed area at the Columbia Maritime Museum. But the copies are there for people to look at. And she kept diaries for 27 years here in Clatsop County.
Wow.
When they first arrived.
So, as I think Amy mentioned, today is the first day of March. It's the first day of Women's History Month. So this would be a great time. You have the entire month. Someone could do a research paper or just come in and check that out. Amy, how often are you at the library?
Oh, I'm there a couple days a week.
Okay.
But on Mondays.
Okay, sure. Mondays. And if somebody were interested in looking at some of this material, could they just go up to the desk and...
Anybody who works at the library could help people find materials about women's history. And we will have displays, book displays.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
For the month. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Because we do have several significant women right here in Astoria that are writers that have written some wonderful books.
Sure.
The one.
What a good lead in, Lori.
And now, Amy.
Take it away.
One thing we will be giving away tomorrow night for a lucky drawing winner will be a copy of local author Marianne Monson's Frontier Grit, which does include a chapter on Abigail Scott Duniway. So if you get your curiosity sparked by this program, you could read more in her book.
Right.
In fact, we have a ballot box there tomorrow night, too, that we'll be using for the drawing.
Huh? And I think that's one of the important things, especially these days, the idea of voting, how important it is, and how important it is that young people, as soon as they hit the right age, before they hit the age, they need to start learning.
Yes.
And then as soon as they hit the legitimate age, we need every vote we can get. Where did that sign come from that you're holding? It looks almost legitimate.
Well, it is a legitimate copy that I enlarged and carried in the Women's March.
I see.
So I will have that tomorrow night, too. So, yeah, we want more women in politics. We want more people to vote, because if you don't vote, you can't complain.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And there's so much to complain about. You better vote.
I didn't want to say that, but, you know, your listeners, I'm sure.
Laurie, do you have any other productions coming up in the near future?
Well, I'm always working on things, but I don't have... I'm surprised because, well, and I haven't really advertised very much. Amy and I have been talking about this for a few months. And so I do programs all around. And you mentioned Hanky Panky, which is kind of fun.
That was delightful.
And, you know, it's weird because you think, now, how could somebody talk for an hour about hankies? But really,
it's amazing. I can. Yeah, and we were all riveted. That's the other part.
And it's
of
fun. You get to see authentic stuff.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And I do A Woman's Worth, which is all about purses, and Amazing Lace is the one that I did at the church down at the Presbyterian Church. I can't remember whether you were there.
No, but you also, one of the things you do that's so important, if people are saying who cares about purses and hankies, is that you give the entire context, the history, and how this works and why it's important and what you're looking at and what it tells about what was going on.
And a lot of times you do think those things are kind of superficial. And, of course, you look at every woman, she has a purse. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young, how what your size is or anything.
But nowadays men do, too.
That's
the interesting.
That's right.
They finally figured out this is a kind of thing.
I think they actually had them first, and then women started having little tiny purses, and they would have the money for the carriage or
a
hanky.
I see.
Yeah.
And then Brownsmead, we used to have the ladies' tea, hats and gloves required, all else optional. We haven't done that in a few years, but it was a fun time.
That sounds great. Yeah. That sounds great. Yeah. Well, you think of a long time ago when women got together for sewing bees or quilting bees, what they were doing when they got together. They couldn't vote, but they could certainly talk about what the issues were, and then they could go home and tell their husbands, you know, when it comes up, I need you to vote this way. Yeah. And so women have always been connected, and now we're even more connected with the internet. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going out about politics and what's happening in other places besides our own local community.
Right.
And we need to pay attention and
absolutely.
And vote.
So, tomorrow night at the Astoria Library, 10th and Exchange, 7 p.m., come and see, come and meet Abigail Scott Dunaway in the flesh, and enjoy the evening. Thanks to Laurie Johnson, who is bringing Abigail, facilitating this, and Amy Kreider from the library, who is wonderful about putting on innovative programs there. So thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Carol. Yeah. I really appreciate the opportunity to let your listeners know about her.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Carol.
You bet. My next guest, well, I'm just going to put on the music and you'll find out what's going on. You're listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
Well, that long black train got my baby and gone. Train, train, coming round, round the baby. Train, train, coming round, round the baby. Well, it took my baby, but it never will again. No, not again. Train, train, coming down, down the line. Train, train, coming down the line. Well, it's bringing my baby, cause she's my all mine, she's my all mine. Train, train. Train, train, coming round, round the bend. Well, it took my baby, but it never will again. Never will again.
Does that sound familiar? It should. And Elvis was kind of shy. He didn't want to come into the room, but I had to coax him, which took a little while. But you heard him there. And why are we playing Elvis Presley on the air? Well, is there any other Elvis in the world? I don't know. Oh, well, Elvis Costello, of course. Sorry. But this is the king. And he's here because my next guests, some of whom you will recognize from the first part of the show, are putting on a show called Four Weddings and an Elvis. I have no idea what it's about, but I could not resist pulling an Elvis, LP to play. So Jeff Slemmel is here. Are you the director?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And also the familiar people, Sedona Torres. Does that ring a bell? And Michael Dennen. Hi, guys.
Right.
So, Jeff, what is this play?
This play is takes place in a wedding chapel in Las Vegas, and it is a series of three separate weddings, actually four weddings,
ooh,
that take place. And it's a three-act play plus an epilogue. And so it stories about different people getting married for different reasons in the place that where everything stays, Las Vegas. And so the variety of characters and the variety of their stories is what makes it really unique.
And it's, I'm sure, a very serious play.
Oh, yes. It's as serious as can be. So bring your handkerchiefs.
Yeah, right. With a title like that, I figured it's probably hilarious.
Yes.
So let's tell folks this is happening. This is the Riverbend Players, and it is opening on March 15th.
That's correct.
And this is going to be at NCRD, is that right?
That's correct.
That's the North County Recreation District Performing Arts Center. Whew. That
correct.
Is such a mouthful. And that's in Nehalem on 9th Street. And it's quite a wonderful theater these days. Didn't mm-hmm. used to be quite as comfortable. Now it's very cozy. So how long are you running the play?
It'll be for 2 weekends. It starts on the 15th.
Okay.
And it'll run that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then the following weekend on that following Saturday and Sunday. And Sundays are matinees, and the Friday and Saturdays are evening performances.
And the time?
The evening performances are at 7, and the matinees are at 2.
Okay. And Jeff and the Riverbend Players have been generous enough to bring us some tickets. So if you are anywhere near a telephone, you might be in luck. You can call us here at 503-325-0010 and speak to Reed, who's got the tickets, and he will give you one ticket, and you can buy another one for someone else. And you can pick your dates, or are they for specific dates?
They can pick their day.
And so there's 5 performances. You can pick anyone you want. And 4 weddings and an Elvis. So you're directing. Are you in it as well? Oh, there goes the phone. I just saw the light blinking. Are you in it as well?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm directing. These fine people that are in the studio with me are in it.
Yes, and I'm wondering what you're doing in it. Sedona and Michael, what are your
roles? I wonder that too sometimes.
Well, I'm the chapel proprietor. Sandy's Chapel of Love.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right, because I saw the photo, and I thought, God, there's a lot of people
right?
in this cast. How many are there in the cast?
I'm trying to remember. It's like
a massive group.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
It's 7?
The
full cast is 10.
Oh, 10.
But Sandy does a great job of keeping them all, you know, herding the cats,
right.
so to speak, and keeping them all in check.
Now, that wouldn't be funny now, would it, if I did that?
You try.
Right?
You
try. Yeah.
And fail. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're the Chapel of mm-hmm. Love owner.
Yeah.
And, Michael, what's your position here?
Well, my name is John, but I also do an Elvis wedding ceremony.
He's an Elvis impersonator. Oh. He is Elvis.
I see it more as channeling.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why aren't you dressed in white? Oh, of course you are dressed. Oh, I didn't notice.
There was a surprise appearance at the
He wears that.
The Manzanita potluck where I was dressed in my
Elvis made
attire.
An appearance.
Now, how did you come across Elvis attire? Did somebody make it, or did you?
Oh, no, it's straight off eBay.
I think actually it was good old Amazon.
Oh,
you know.
My God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we don't mention those names. It was locally bought, of course.
Of course. Although I really don't think that would be found in any stores anymore, especially those sideburns.
Oh, my gosh. What a hoot. Oh, I can't wait to see you. Now, do you play a normal person as well?
I have a duality. See, I have I'm John, and then I can change.
So John is one of the couples as part of
He's the chaplain. Sandy's friend.
Yeah,
that
I see.
Does some
and
different.
He's an Elvis impersonator, and actually, there's three different weddings taking place. The three acts are the first one is called the Payback, and these people are getting married to pay someone back. They're doing it out of spite. The next one is called The Comeback, and that are, those are two actors who are kind of over the hill, did an old TV show, and they're trying to make their comeback, and they are under the delusion that everyone still recognizes who they are.
Oh, dear.
And the third one's called The Real Thing, I believe. Uh-huh. And this is an ex-con and a postal worker who met each other online while she was in prison, and they're coming to Vegas to get married as well. So.
Wow. Now, tell me something. Do you think this was based on real stories?
If so, I would like to meet that person.
Yeah. I mean, it's Vegas.
And if not,
that's true. It's
if not, I'm sure these stories have taken place. Yeah.
Well, Sandy's character is a little bit salty. So, and seeing when you watch the play, you'll see, well, I guess if I had to deal with that for 17 years, yes. I might be salty too.
It's my self-defense. And now, have you both done a lot of acting as well as making music?
Yeah, definitely. Been a part of the Riverbend Players for quite a while.
Is that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's another one of the art forms that you're involved in. And Jeff, I've seen you. You were at the, when Riverbend brought the play here to Kala. A few months ago.
Yeah, That's a Wonderful Life. We did Wonderful that in December. Life.
That was fabulous. And the color stage is like 2 inches by 2 inches.
Yeah, it
isn't. Actually, it's plenty big. But when you have all these people stuffed in there, and you did a fabulous job, I really enjoyed it. How long has Riverbend Players been together?
Jeez, I believe I saw a date of 2010. For quite a recent rendition, but it could have been.
I think they've had forms of it for quite a while. For a while, they just did the readers, and then it graduated into blending the readers with actually the stage performance that is no readers, and it's just the,
One of the actors in this performance, he's been working on a history. I don't know. There's a website he's been working on to try to keep track of all the Dave Bell is.
Now this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Not part of the play.
No, just the Riverbend, the history of the Riverbend play.
Because us thespians like to blend both. Yes,
it's all one big mishmash. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I had not heard of this play. Who wrote this play?
Nancy Frick. And it was first performed in 2010, so it's based on recent times. Yeah. And the way we play it, it's today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's modern times.
Right.
Cell phones and all that good stuff.
It was actually very kind of new for Riverbend. Honestly, for as long as I've been with Riverbend Players, there really hasn't been a lot of modern ones were like, because most of the time we had to refer to the older phones, like the dial up and getting the date right. We could actually use our cell phones in this one.
Yeah, well, you're talking to someone who doesn't have a cell phone, so just be careful.
Sure.
Okay, folks, it's going to be a blast. Riverbend Players, 4 weddings and an Elvis, and we've got Elvis sitting right here right now. He's wearing his white outfit with sparkles and his hair you wouldn't believe. Now a couple of minutes now, about half an hour ago he looked very different, but now I can just see the Elvis sparkling out of him. A very strong cast. Who else is in the cast then?
Well, we have let me go through it real quick, because we have a lot of them. We have Patty
Reskin, Tom Coughlin,
and that's first act. Mm-hmm. And we also have Mike Dynan in Act 1. Mm-hmm. Act 2 is Dave Bell.
And Linda McCahon.
Brian McMahon.
You've
met Brian before.
Of course.
And he's been in Riverbend Plays a long time, one of the originals. And on Act 3, we have Mike Sims. Officer Mike Sims, and he's going to get mad if I say that. We also have a fairly new person, Margot McClellan, And we have a fairly new person, a Patrick Dennis.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's part of the magic, is bringing in new people that it keeps
and
it fresh.
Every night we have this character, Ken, who's talked about during the whole play, but nobody sees him. Uh-huh. He comes on. He's the last person to be seen in the play. And it's going to be a mystery person every night, a well-known person within the community.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and I have to make a public apology because even though I was instructed, I've been mispronouncing Michael's last name.
I'm sorry, I didn't say anything.
It's D-I-N-A-N. But you don't really need that. All you need to know is Elvis. Exactly. Thank you so much for coming in. Jeff,
I forgot Tom Conklin. Yeah. Did I forget Tom Conklin?
No, you said it.
Did I say it? Yeah. Good. He's going to smack me if I...
He said it together. You said Patty Reskin and then Tom Conklin.
Jeff Slamel? Slamel. All these names. How am I supposed to... Okay, Michael Dinan.
Boom.
And Sedona Torres with the Riverbend Players. It opens on March 15th, runs for 2 weekends, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, the first weekend, then Saturday and Sunday. And we may still have a couple of tickets left, one ticket per person. So give a call, 503-325-0010, or just go to the play at the NCRD Performing Arts Center in Nehalem, 9th Street. Thank you so much for coming in. And break your legs, you two.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't keep it straight, though. Wait, this is... First do your music performance, then break your legs.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it. Okay, great. Wow. What a hoot. I have one more guest coming up, but I want to play you a little bit of music from Correo Aéreo. And this is... a couple who was actually here in Astoria at one point, music from Venezuela, Mexico, and Argentina. And they are playing, they are playing here at the Hoffman. Here it is, Saturday night at the Hoffman, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Only they're playing as a trio, and they are terrific. And we're going to send this music out because Venezuela is much in the news, and we're hearing all sorts of garbage about it. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people.
Tú que conoces la historia, ayúdame a recordar. Ayúdame a recordar lo que pasó en aquel tiempo con tantos años atrás. Muchacho, aún en mi rancho, allá en mi rancho sin el arpa trabajar. Yo por mi parte recuerdo, camino amigos, cositas en especial. Amigo mío, por ejemplo, los cagüeyes, tus caños y tus casetas y hasta el viejo Morillán. Donde con mis cuatro hermanos, de tarde me iba a bañar. Para recibir la noche, bajo el calor de mis padres y mi hogar.
Correo Aéreo, and that's at the Hoffman in Manzanita tomorrow evening. And my last guest is here. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to talk fast. It's Jennifer Crockett, who is the executive director at the Liberty Theater. And as ever, there's so much going on there. So, Jennifer,
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We've got Trio Solisti.
Yeah.
Which I read the write-up. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing. They'll be performing Haydn, Dvorak, and Brahms, my favorite, Brahms. That's going to be an amazing concert.
In the New Yorker, of all things, said the most exciting piano trio in America.
Yes.
And there were so many rave reviews for them. I will be there for sure. Let's just tell folks, this is the 7th of March, which is
Thursday.
This coming Thursday evening, a week from last night at 7 p.m. at the Liberty, 12th and Commercial.
Yeah. One of the most exciting things about it, too, is our classical series provides workshops for local students at different schools, and they will be working with Astoria Middle School students on Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we haven't been to the middle school yet with a workshop, so I'm really excited about that.
Now, does the middle school have a music program? Is that why you're able to?
They do. Yeah, they have band and orchestra over there.
So there has to be something in place for people to. But what an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Where are these guys from?
They're from New York, and they're on tour through the area.
Wow.
So we just happened to snag them as they went past.
Fantastic. Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Go online to libertyastoria.org and get yourself a ticket now so you don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
And what else is going on at the Liberty?
Lots. We have three events next week. Speaking of high schools, Il Waco High School will be performing on the Liberty stage on Wednesday night. We give the Liberty stage to all of our area high schools for one night a year. We don't charge them for use of the stage.
Nice.
And we let them fundraise for their programs however they would like.
Wow.
Last year, Waco High School had a huge turnout, and I want to say they raised over $2,000 for the music program.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And then on the 9th, we have Work Dance Company. So that'll be a really fun, all kinds of styles of dance, modern, jazz, hip hop.
And I have someone coming in next week to talk about that.
Perfect.
Yeah, the man.
Yeah.
Nate Boozer is going to come in and
talk. Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
And then we just added to our calendar May 3rd, we're doing a Cinco de Mayo celebration in conjunction with the Lower Columbia Hispanic Coalition.
Council. Excellent.
Yeah, so we've got mariachi groups, we've got a local folk dance group.
They do well.
Yeah, and the performance is free, which is amazing. We were able to cover it by donors and grants. And then before the show, the LCHC is holding a dinner. So you can purchase tickets to the dinner or just come to the show for free.
Fantastic. Yeah. And they do a wonderful job in this community supporting the population and also introducing a lot of us to some terrific food, dance, and culture.
Oh, my gosh. I got to see Ballet Folkloric when I was in Mexico City last year.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for this program.
Yeah. Well, I am thrilled that the Liberty is working with the local group, too.
That's
that kind of coalition, that kind of community building that works really well.
Absolutely.
So we don't have time to do much else. So let's just, I personally will urge people to go to libertyastoria.org. It's a great website, and you can see all the stuff that's going on. You can get your tickets online or just get information, put it on your calendar.
Absolutely.
See what's happening.
Thanks for fitting me in.
You bet, Jennifer. I know it was a shorty, but, you know, we just wanted to make sure folks know. And don't miss this Trio Solisti on Thursday evening, 7 p.m. At the Liberty Theater from New York. And this is part of the classical series. And I love that you sync them up with the school kids.
Oh, yeah. I'm a public school band kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention, Jennifer is the executive director. She's also a musician in many groups, I must say.
Yes.
You're all over the place playing all kinds of music with her clarinet. And so she really makes the push for the community. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm going to tell folks what else is happening in the last minute I have here. Tonight, Seaside High School, tonight and tomorrow, Little Shop of Horrors. The Southwester has the whole weekend. It's their fifth annual Spaceness. It's celebration of time, space, and the unknown through art, media, and performance. Pickled Fish, Pretty Gritty. Astoria Arts and Movement Center has their monthly Contra Dance, and that's on 10th and Commercial. And Ferry Street Friday on 14th Street Businesses, and then at the Albatross, the Heckles will be playing after 8. Cannon Beach Library, Writers Read Celebration, 7 o'clock. Life on the North Coast, there's 10 authors, local authors reading. And tomorrow, Gearhart Art Walk, Seaside Art Walk, Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum has their meeting at noon, and with a guest speaker, Skamakaway River Life Interpretive Center, Dawn Morden, who was a very important part of this community, including KMUN. His celebration of life is tomorrow, 2 p.m. at the United Methodist Church. Say goodbye to Dawn. The Hoffman Again, Correo Ario. Astor Street Opry Company, Robin Hood the Musical, Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. Astoria Library has Lurie Johnson as Abigail Scott Dunaway at 7. And from 2 to 4 is the Gerrymandering Forum.